Accession number 8171, reel 26.
Mr. Metalman, reel 26. In the British Army, they sometimes call themselves each other Tommies. Did you have such a word for a German private to describe another private?
Yes, we called ourselves Lancer, which comes from the old German word of Landsknecht. It was just a serious description of ourselves, Lancer. An air soldier or a navy soldier was not included in it. It was a land soldier.
There is a story which you've written, but you haven't actually told it on tape. It's quite a long one, but maybe you could put it on tape, about a time you spent in a Russian village when you got separated from the German army.
Yes. Well, do you want me to do it now?
Yes, please.
Out of the blue, of course, it really, not being prepared, it needs somebody thinking. But anyway, here it goes. The name of the village, I'm pretty sure it is the right name, was Mankovo. I was then with the 22nd Panzer Division, and we were going towards Stalingrad. Though it must have been in the summer, in the height of the summer, I think, end of July, very hot weather. In 1942, things were going well for us. We had some skirmishes every day. There was some sort of fighting going on, but the Russians retreated. And as I said, things were going okay. And that it was especially galling that something went wrong with my panzer, because we had no losses. And suddenly something was with a clutch. It was with a clutch. The clutch didn't work properly. And, of course, we had a repair troop. I was a driver, but it was not really my job to do the repairs. Certain repairs we always did. And they said, now, we must have a spare part. I don't know which spare part it was. So, So, no spare parts. They searched around. There was nothing there in our... I think in our division we couldn't have a spare part. We didn't have a spare part. So I had to wait until a spare part, an ordered spare part, arrived. Where it came from or so, don't ask me, they did that. But they reckoned it would take only a few days or a day or so. And anyway, I was... I could drive the Panzer still, next to a farmhouse, between farmhouses, really, in the village. And there I was, and I had a tent, and they gave me some food, and then they detailed a young soldier who had just come from Germany, he was just about 18 or 18 and a half, to stay with me, because there were other troops in the village, German troops. It was a large village. And as it so happened, they pulled out next morning, and we were in the tent. We saw them going off, and my young mate there, he already complained about that he had a very bad cold, which turned out then to be the flu. And as there were other troops, he decided, he went over and wanted to get some tablets or what, and there was some medical officer, and he took his temperature or what, and he decided that he had to go with them. I don't know what happened to him. Anyway, he left. And I thought, well, now I'm on my own here. And then the other troops who were in the village moved out. And it suddenly dawned on me, I was on my own. It wasn't planned. I was on my own in that village. It was lovely weather, and there was my tent, and there was a tank, and there was nobody to give me any orders. The sun was shining, and I was always lying in the grass. And I reckon now, within a day or two, somebody would turn up and supply the thing, which didn't happen. And out of that, of course, the whole thing developed. After, was it 3 or 4 days? In the meantime, I had, wouldn't say friendly, but said hello to the people who lived in the cottage next door. They were always around the house and they were being outside. I watched them already when they were outside. There were some girls there, well, one girl and one young woman. After a few days, I decided, well, I must have something to eat because I was running out of food. I have to do something. And there was absolutely no way by which I could contact any German unit. No unit came through there. I didn't know what happened, what had happened and what was happening outside. Later on, I found out they were getting into difficulties, and that was the reason they couldn't come back to me. There were so many. They had some battle, and the repair troop had to deal with those panzers, and they just had to leave me. So I timed it. I knew when they were all in the afternoon, late afternoon, evening, and I just went in there, and they knew who I was. They had seen me now for several days, and I was quite polite. And I told them I got nothing to eat, and they have to give me some food. I insist on that, and whether I told them whether it's army rule or law, I can't remember. Anyway, I told them that's it, and they discussed it amongst themselves, and I think they came to the conclusion they had no choice, and they said, okay. Now, there was an old couple. He was a farmer, he was bald-headed, typical Slavic, big head he had, nice eyes. They were all nice people. He was the father of the family. Atyets means father. And Magda, is it Magda or Matka, means mother in Russian. I'm not quite sure now. Did I call her Magda? Well, everyone called them Atyets and Magda. I think it was Magda. And so I called them too, Atyets and Magda. And there was the daughter-in-law, Sonia, and the daughter, Katya, and Sonia had several children. 3, I think. 3, 1. Still. The next morning already, was a beautiful morning, I remember it, and Sonia came out, and always, if you want to cook in a Russian house, you have to make a fire, even in hot weather. There's no gas, no electricity, no nothing. And she came over and told me, now breakfast is ready. And so I went, and they were all sitting around a table. It was one large room, a typical peasant room, rather nice, if one doesn't want the comforts of the West. Rather nice. I found it nice. And there was a seat reserved for me next to Matka. And we all sat round that table. And the food was brought in, put in the middle, and everyone got a spoon, so had I, and we helped ourselves. There was bread to break, and I watched all the others and just did the same as they. And then midday, the same happened again, a midday meal. I was just going out again, sitting in the sun, walking about, and midday meal again the same, and evening meal again the same. It was only really one hot meal a day, I think. The other was all some meat and cheese and bread. But it was a good meal always. It was a kind of a soup or fried potatoes with some meat in and some good stuff in. And it was always put in the middle of the table. And everyone helped himself or herself. In the corner of the room was an icon, as one would see in those days in most of the Russian peasant houses. It was always opposite the door. I think that is the place where it is. When you come in the opposite corner, there's the icon. And they were rather religious. Before we started to eat, There was prayer, and afterwards a kind of thanksgiving. My Russian was fair, provided it stayed on a simple basis, because I never was able, had learned to read it or write it, only to speak it, and then you develop a rather faulty peasant Russian. So it was a kind of thanksgiving, and I respected it. When they were praying, I just sat quietly and held my head down. And thanksgiving too, I just stayed quiet. And then afterwards, and everything loosened up, and everyone was kind of happy and talking. And they always liked to draw me into it. They were all friendly. There was a reservation. Obviously, I was a German soldier. The girl Katya, my age, a bit older, she was a beautiful girl, in my eyes anyway, and I would have loved to get near Katya. But Katya was aloof. I know she liked me, as I gave expressions, I think, that I liked her, but she never let me come near to her. Sometimes I took the opportunity just to touch her and so, and when you are young like that, you feel whether a touch is responded. It was responded, but never anymore. I think in her mind it was very strong. You know, she realized that after all, it's a German soldier, an enemy, a soldier who has done much harm to their people. Now, I felt rather one day, then the next day, then the next day, that I was eating there always and didn't do anything. Every one of them were doing things. So I started to get water in and get some wood in, chop it up, and there was peat. I saw to the fire, I got the ashes out, and there were so many things. I did some washing up sometimes. They had no soap powder or anything. It wasn't an easy task in peasant community like that. Neighbors came to know me. They nodded always across the fence. They sometimes came specially to look me over, because after all, I was something very strange. Of course, they so easily could have killed me. I had to sleep in. I slept in my tent the first week or whatever it was. And I had a rifle, and I couldn't be awake all the time. But I think they realized that if something would have happened to me, maybe the whole village would have paid for it. The Germans were very brutal, and I thought about that, and I hoped that they thought that way, that they knew of the brutality of the occupation army, which was very much in my favor then, in those days, obviously. I mean, their knowledge of our brutality. I got bored, and there was harvest time. So it must have then been beginning of August or what. And as far as I can make out, there were huge fields, very few hedgerows, flat country. And Adyets every morning was going out. Katya was a kind of apothecary, as they called it, a chemist shop. Of course, they didn't have much in the chemist shop there in the village, herbs and things like that. But she was working in there. I went into that shop just to say hello to Katya, and she treated me in such a way. She saw that I was very embarrassed. I didn't want to buy anything, and she didn't help me in the least, so I quickly scuttled again. All the people looked at me. I must have cut a funny figure there altogether. But then one day, Adyet said to me whether I would like to come to work and with him. And yes, I liked that, because I was bored. So next morning, he woke me up, and we had breakfast, and then we went to the end of the village. Obviously, it must have been with prior agreement from the others, whoever was in charge of the works, that he brings a German prisoner. And I can imagine they thought, well, yeah, let's bugger work, at least. And two farm carts, I think, arrived with a horse on, and there were some others standing already. That was early, about 6 o'clock or sun was just coming up, and we went onto the farm tracks. There were mostly girls, I like that, and some old men and some children and women. No man in my age group, of course. They were all soldiers. Anyone in my age group who was found in a Russian village, he straight away was arrested by the Germans, whoever they were, because they suspected him to be a soldier or whatever. And I think it was about a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes ride out into the fields, and the corn already had been tied by the women in bundles, and now we started picking up the bundles onto the wagon and then putting them on ricks. And it was hard work, and I was the only young man. I really got stuck into it and had fun. And there was singing going on and laughing, and I could see it. The girls, they eyed me, but again, none came close to me, and I would have loved it so much. Then there was a break. In the morning was always a break, because now I worked there for several, almost a fortnight, something like that, I think. And there was bread and cheese and some milk and water. And then at lunchtime, must have been about 1 o'clock, something like that, one works to the sun there, and nobody has a watch. And then where it came from, it came from the village, a big churn with some soup or whatever it was. It altered. It wasn't always the same, the food, but it was always good food, and one was hungry. I really enjoyed it. There was no food shortage. People living on the land, they have ways and means of having food for themselves. And then afterwards we're lying down for an hour or so, I think, altogether, the lunch break. And I always tried to lie next to the girls. And they were looking at me, all right. And but I never managed it. The last thing, always a girl got up and I was lying next to some old man. I remember one dropped off to sleep, and then suddenly you are woken up and come on, working again. And I obeyed. Sometimes I felt, oh, bugger this, yeah, I'm so tired, I would like to sleep. But no, I thought no. I was disciplined. I got up. And the secretary, her name was Misha. And, yes, it was Misha. She was around 40. And I think she was the collective secretary or whatever, kolkhoz secretary. Anyway, she was in charge. Misha gave the orders, and we all jumped, and I totally obeyed. Yes, Misha. And whatever she told me, because sometimes I was loading. She was quite clever at it, the change of work, that you shouldn't get tired with one set of work. And she said, Genri, you have done this morning, now you will do that this afternoon. And there was no please or anything, that was, you will do. And I did. And I came home. Always with Adyets, we walked that last stretch into the little village side street where we lived, and I was quite happy. I had worked, and we were dirty now, took a bucket and washed ourselves, and then food was ready again, and I felt very happy about it. It did me good. I preferred that to any other thing. That just went on now day after day. So I just explained one day that was, every day was the same. We always had good weather. Then I remember one incident I described in that, what I have written down. Sonia had dropped a bucket in the well. And at that time you couldn't get anything. There was no shop in the village where you could get anything. A bucket was a very valuable thing, and everyone went down on Sonia. And I felt very sorry for Sonia. Now, Sonia was about 30. And Sonia had an interest in me. And I think I was so young, I was not 20 yet. I sensed it, but Matka was watching Sonia, her daughter-in-law, that she shouldn't try anything with it. But Sonia, she had an eye on me. And whenever she could touch me, she would touch me, and she offered to wash my hair, and lovingly she washed my hair and rubbed me, but Madga was always watching. But I sensed it very strongly. I never did anything, never tried anything, totally unexperienced. Sometimes I think, what a bloody fool I was. I felt sorry for Sonia, because everyone was down on her. The bucket was gone, and she was saying, well, she got the water for the family, and now the bucket had gone down there, and everyone blames her, and it's not fair, and I think she almost cried, and the other said, yeah, the bucket is gone, and who gets the bucket? And then I realized they were all looking at me, because I must have said something about the bucket. I said, well, not all that difficult, is it? And I said, have you got a long pole or something like that? Never really thinking it out how it would develop. And then quickly, Adjetz, he said, yes, there's a long pole. He got a long pole with a nail on. That was, I think, there for that purpose. And he said something about his leg. He couldn't go into the well because of his leg. And I thought then, back of that, you've got nothing wrong with your leg. You never have told me. I know you quite well now. And then everyone was looking at me, and I suddenly realized they all stood around me, and it was me who have to go down into that well. Now, it was a peasant-made well, stones all around, and stones sticking out at the side, just a bit more than a yard, I think, a bit more than a meter in diameter that one can climb down for these things, and stones sticking out. And they gave me... We all went to the well, and... I looked down, it was expected of me to go into this. Well, I looked down there, it was, at first, because when I asked for the pole, I thought perhaps you could put a pole down and get the bucket. But of course, it was, the water level was very far down, I would say 10 meters or 12. And only from there you could use the pole. So... I just tied a string around my belt, and I started climbing down, and everyone giving advice there, standing top there, looking down and shouting, go, Genry, and get the bucket, and things like that. And it was cold down there, and it was slippery, I remember. It was rather dangerous. You know, even if I wouldn't have drowned, I was on the rope. But you could slip and hurt yourself. And I think I had some close shaves there, almost slipped. And but I came down to the water level, cold and all slimy. And then they handed the pole down, and I saw, looked up, and I saw the hole and all the heads looking over and shouting down. And it dawned on me, God, they got me in a trap here. You know, just throwing stones down, I wouldn't have a chance. And, of course, my rifle was up there. Everyone knew it, and ammunition was there. They knew it, and the panzer stood there. Well, they couldn't do anything with the panzer, I know. But the pole came down, and I, well, then was still a few yards from where I was standing down the water, and I touched the bucket, and in the end, I hooked it on somehow, and I got the bucket up, and they were shouting hooray, tied it onto a string, and the pole on the string, and up that went, and then I went up, and the string, rope always around my thing, and they more or less pulled me over the well, and I was treated like the hero. Everyone was talking about Genry, he got the bucket, nobody else could do it, and I was quite proud. And I remember... Sonia wanted to give me a kiss, just in the hole, aye! And then Magda straight away came in between again. She was Sonia. She knew what was going on in Sonia's mind. They baked special pancakes for me, for all of us. But they said it was for me, and I was something going on then. I had the first pancake, and I had the last pancake. I had the most of it. It was also a funny thing when we started eating. Adjetz always took the first bite or the first spoonful, and also the last was always his. And somehow now with the pancake, that's why it sticks in my mind, I was the one. I was now. I took the first, and there was one left over. That was mine. So, and really, it was a lovely family affair. I loved the people, the children loved me, but there was this strange I was the enemy, but something was happening in me. I felt close to them. And without ever talking about it, didn't talk about the war, I got so accustomed to it now, working with them. And also, I think it was the first weekend after I started working at Yahtzee, winked once evening, and we were going, he was, before that, he was always going on his own, to the pub. Well, pub, but you don't compare it with an English pub, it was a peasant house. It was the other end of the village. He said to me, look, I take you, that's just good. And I had some money, because in the German army you were paid with rubles. And Adjets did well out of it too, because I paid. I couldn't, what could I use my money for? I had so much money. And we arrived at that place. Leon was the name, the peasant who was the landlord. Well, don't call it landlord. And they were all just sitting around there on stools and benches. All men, sometimes a woman came in and got some cider or what, and there was something illegal going on. I'm sure something brewing there. They made some vodka which had not gone through the customs, and the Germans were keen on stopping that, and I think the Russian authorities before that too. But these peasants, they do their stuff. Anyway, he told me to pay him so and so many rubles, I forgot how many. And that was it. He must have done it with the agreement of all the others, because I behaved nicely in the village. I in no way, at least I tried to, was not arrogant nor offensive. And like there, I was barefoot and just had trousers on and I think a shirt. I wasn't there in uniform. Everyone knew me. Gendry, they called me the Russians come produce the age. I was just Gendry. And then Leon came around and filled the glasses for the money I had paid him. And I think, from then on, I was quite often there. I never knew how much this cost or that cost. I had plenty of money, and I just gave Leon money. And then I said for the others as well, and definitely for Adjets. Adjets was drinking now for nothing every time he took me. I wanted to get rid of my money, really. And I remember that first evening, how we got home, Adjets and I don't know. But I do remember we were crawling about in the hut on the floor, looking for something to eat. And everyone shouted quiet, and Adjets and I, we couldn't stop laughing. We were both crawling on the floor.
Yes, altogether, it was a nice and restful time there in Mankovo. I went out to work every day, and one got used to that sort of life, and the war was pushed into the background almost. Well, I forgot about the war. I didn't really know what was going on anyway. I saw no newspapers and there was no radio. I had absolutely no idea, and I think if one is young, one can shut off main events and just live one's life, at least thinking back about that time. That is what happened to me. I loved that kind of life. For instance, I remember in the evenings we came back from work and we had our meal and the women did the work inside the house. There was some washing up going on and singing and putting this away and that away. And they asked me then sometimes to chop some wood. I always did that without being asked, really. I tried to be helpful in that respect because I had a loving feeling for all of them. And then we sat outside, mostly Adjets and I, and the children came out. And I loved the children, and the children loved me. And we played, and there were so many games we could play. They had hardly any toys, no toys in the sense as we know toys, but peasants are very inventive. We had all sorts of games with throwing things and fetching things and catching each other and running around. And I was a young lad myself. I loved it to run around with the children, rush around with them. And not far away was a little bog, quite a large size bog, really, boggy land. And there were fish in there, and I went there with the children, and we sat there, and I jumped in and swam, and all in the naked.